Welcome, councillors, officers and members of the press and gallery. Please be upstanding. And I do apologise for us starting a few minutes late. We, the councillors of Hobsons Bay, recognise that we are privileged to serve a community enriched by diversity. We respect and value our community's backgrounds, customs and beliefs, and declare that we will always act impartially to the best of our skill and judgment. Through our deliberations and our conduct, we will uphold the council values to deliver outcomes that enhance the city of Hobsons Bay. And please remain standing. I'd also like to acknowledge that we are gathered on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. We recognise the First Peoples' relationship to this land and offer our respect to their elders past and present. Please be seated. This meeting is recorded as a podcast and will be made available on the council website tomorrow. And I'd just like to welcome all of you tonight. It's good to see not quite a full house, but indeed quite a few people here this evening. It's an important meeting tonight as we have a few key annual and four-year documents that we consider tonight. But before I proceed, I will ask councillors, are there any apologies to be granted this evening?
Yeah, Councillor Briffa.
We have an apology from Councillor Briffa, and that's so moved by Councillor Gregg. Am I correct? And seconded?
I'm happy to second that we accept that apology.
Thank you, Councillor Altair. I'll put that motion to the vote. All those in favour? Anyone against? It is carried. Thank you, councillors. Now to disclosure of interests. Under the Local Government Act, councillors are required to disclose any conflicts of interest that they may have, and I'll ask councillors, are there any conflicts that need to be disclosed this evening? If there are none, then to the next item, which is councillor questions. Are there any questions from councillors? And I'll start to my right with Councillor Altair. Any questions this evening?
None tonight, thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Altair. Councillor Gregg? None. Councillor Hempel?
None.
Thank you. Councillor Marsden?
None. Thank you.
Councillor Gaines? Thank you. And also to public question time, we do have a segment for questions. If they are submitted before 4 p.m. prior to the meeting, and questions from the public related to any items on the agenda or any other matter within the council's responsibility, but I'm told we have none this evening. However, there is question time at the end of the meeting, and if there are any questions relating to the agenda that people have this evening, they can be submitted by filling out a question form at the entrance and handing it to Mr. Hunt, who is positioned at the end of the table there. And if you remain, then for the duration of the meeting, then it will be answered in the chamber. Otherwise, people will have their response given to them in writing. And I'm just looking up and seeing Mr. Mitchellmore nodding at me. Mr. Mitchellmore, welcome as a former Citizen of the Year. The next item on the agenda relates to petitions and joint letters. And we do have a petition that's been it is being tabled this evening, so councillors, I will ask for someone to move that we accept the petition, which relates to resident parking problems in Ford Street, Newport, and Hobsons Bay Council lack of response and request for urgent action, and that's a petition with 26 signatories. So councillors, we need to move a motion to receive and note this petition and refer it to the next appropriate council meeting for a report. But before I do that, are there any questions?
No questions. Oh, well, unless there are questions, I'm happy to move. So move that we table the petition and call for a report on its contents.
Thank you. I'll assume that there are no other questions, but if there are, well, you're...
I'm happy to second it.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Altair, seconded by Councillor Hempel. Is there anyone against this motion? If not, then I will put it to the vote. All those in favour? Anyone against? It is carried. You wanted to...
I moved too fast, ma'am. I would like to have spoken to it.
It's too late. I'm going to move on. So, well, there will be a report that comes back, and there will be an opportunity then to speak to the matter. Thank you. So the next item on the agenda relates to the draft council plan 2017-21, and we are presenting it for public exhibition in accordance with section 223, and it is draft and it will be open for public exhibition. Are there any questions relating to the draft council plan, councillors? If there's none, do I have a mover?
So moved.
Councillor Marsden, and do I have a seconder?
Happy to second.
Thanks. Councillor Gregg. Thank you. Councillor Marsden, would you like to speak to this motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this council plan, this draft council plan, is developed every 4 years in accordance with the legislation, and it's the guiding document for the next 4 years for us. Since being elected in November, we've had a few months to grapple with the future direction of the council, which as a new councillor is quite a daunting exercise. But importantly, we've had the support of randomly selected citizen jurors who have contributed to the Hobsons Bay 2030 plan, which really underpins the entire council plan. And so I'm grateful for the input from those citizens, and accordingly the facilitation from the officers and those things that the people have identified as priorities for the city of Hobsons Bay has made it easy to design the council plan. So it's been a pretty smooth process, and I commend the plan to you. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. Councillor Gregg.
Well, it's good to see the six key priorities, areas for Hobsons Bay for the 2030 vision, of particular importance. I think it's the inclusive and healthy community, which I think we really need to have a look at from a council point of view and see what we can do to actually help the community. Nothing further to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gregg. Is anyone against this motion? If not, are there any other speakers? Councillor Gates.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Looking forward to, I guess, working with my colleagues and the officers on the council plan, and the second component to the four-year plan is the draft council plan for our first year. So we've got the initiatives and major initiatives identified for 17-18, and just wanting to note that we do have some objectives sitting within there that don't have an action item underneath them, and that's because something will be appearing further down the track. So it's not that we've included an objective and then decided to leave it blank, but you know, those objectives are intended for 4 years, and we will have the annual plan that comes out each year as we work through those. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gates. Any other speakers? If there are none, then Councillor Marsden, would you like to close the debate?
Happy to go to a vote, Madam Mayor.
And I'll put that motion to the vote. All those in favour? Anyone against? It is carried. It's our roadmap for the next 4 years with the feedback along the way. So thank you very much, councillors. It's an important document, and it's good to know that we know where we're going. The next item on the agenda is the rating strategy for 2017-18, and this recommendation is for council to endorse that strategy, and it's subject to the adoption of the annual budget, of course. So, councillors, any questions? If there are no questions, do I have a mover?
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Gates. And a seconder?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Alter. Councillor Gates.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Rating strategy is part of the budget package that we do prepare on an annual basis. I could probably suggest that perhaps the rating strategy becomes easier when you have a 2% rate cap. But I think the bean counters would probably not appreciate that type of statement given the amount of work that they do put in the background. Having said that, I think an element that I do want to point out is that rates are only $3.50 in every dollar that we pay in tax, and keeping that in mind when people do receive their rates notices later on this year, and there will be some people who will receive rate increases, some who will receive a rate reduction, but overall that the rating strategy document that sits here underpins how that is shared out across the municipality.
Thank you, Councillor Gates. Councillor Aylter.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yes, well, I guess in some ways it is easier for us to develop a rating strategy because we have to work within the rate cap as prescribed by the state government. Of course, on the other hand, it makes it devilishly hard for us to balance the needs of our community, to stay on top of the ever-increasing burden of keep maintaining our roads and other buildings and infrastructure, and all within this very constrained 2%. You'll find that even the inflation rate, as determined by a certain authority, is 2.5%. So basically a 2% rate cap isn't even keeping up with the inflation, but they are our constraints. And as the report also explains, even though there is no rate cap on the waste charges, which have gone up hugely in the last 10 years, nevertheless we have maintained the increase of waste charges also to 2%. And as we come to discuss the budget itself in the next item, we will learn that there's been some, I guess, fantastic prestidigitation from our officers to come up with a pretty effective and generous budget with a high capital expense budget, but still working within this massively constrained mandated increase. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Councillor Aylter. Is anyone against this motion? Are there any other speakers? If there are none, then Councillor Gates.
Go to the vote, thanks.
I'll put that motion to the vote. All those in favour? Anyone against? It is carried. Thank you. The next item on the agenda relates to another strategy that's important underpinning aspect of our budget, and that's the borrowing strategy, 17-18. And again, this is subject to the adoption of the annual budget, should it be adopted tonight as presented. Councillors, are there any questions? That's a question, Councillor.
I'm not sure how to ask this question to, but with funding being so cheap at the moment, should we be borrowing more now to invest for the future needs of the community?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm happy to take that question, Councillor Griff. I think that's a position for Council to determine through its budget deliberations and through at any point in the year. A budget can be revised and reconsidered if there is a will of Council to consider projects to be funded.
Any other questions, councillors? If there are none, do I have a mover?
So moved.
Councillor Gates. Thank you. And a seconder?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Councillor Gates.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The borrowing strategy does outline the approach that the council has decided to take in terms of borrowing over a long period of time. And the strategy this year does recognise that the existing borrowing of $14.2 million will be maintained with no further borrowings currently factored into the strategy. This comes off the back of a decision in the last term of council that saw us move from a position of almost no debt in 12-13 to increasing our borrowings to the just over $14 million in the 14-15 financial year. So to some extent we have taken the opportunity that Councillor Grech has identified around enhancing our borrowings while interest rates are low, and the appetite of the council at the moment has been to sit at this level for the time being, and the forward strategy identifies what the rate cap environment will do to ability to invest in infrastructure over the next, I think we've looked at the next 20, 30 years, and we will have gaps in being able to fund in future years that will probably require us to revisit our borrowing strategy and look at further borrowings at that time.
Thank you, Councillor Gates. Councillor Alto.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yes, I agree with Councillor Gates's summation, and I would add that in my years in council, it's always been a fairly conservative council in terms of its borrowing, and I still think the borrowings to income ratio are still on the modest end, and I'm more comfortable doing it that way. I think we've also sort of added enhanced our borrowing capacity by being part of the local government funding vehicle, which was launched by our peak body some years ago to provide Victoria's 79 councils with a new and independent source of funding, and giving us greater autonomy. And I think it's been a revolutionary move on the part of our peak body, and I think it will serve us all well. It does help us to smooth out the volatility of the capital raising markets, but also, to some extent, it doesn't. It stops us having to rely on the conventional sources of funding. So I think all in all, this is a good borrowing strategy, and will leave us in good stead. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Altair. Is anyone against this motion? Are there any other speakers? Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I'd like to recognise that we are only currently borrowing $14.2 million, which is historically low and a conservative approach from the previous council. And I just wanted to acknowledge and say thanks for handing over a council in such good financial shape to the directors and the CEO and my fellow councillors who are on the previous council. Nevertheless, as we go through the mid-year budget and also future budgets over the next 4 years, there's always a capacity to borrow more for contingencies that we can't yet foresee. During discussions in council and with officers, we haven't identified any potential borrowings in the next short term, but it's an arrow in our quiver that we can deploy at any time, and I'm grateful to have that opportunity to borrow money if necessary.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. Any other speakers? If none, then Councillor Gates.
I think I appreciate the comments of my colleagues, and just would like to close by identifying a paragraph that is written in the borrowing strategy, which will make me sound conservative, but it does point out that in the long term, borrowing does not increase the amount of money available to spend, although it would allow a high level of expenditure in a given year. And I think borrowing for a contingency item is probably where it would be appropriate. It must be repaid with interest, and so would require a reduction in expenditure in future years. So that's, I guess, the seesaw that we're trying to balance when we consider how much the council has the capacity and the appetite to borrow from one year to the next.
And with that closure of debate, I'll now put that motion to vote. All those in favour? Anyone against? It is carried. And important points for us all to consider as we go forward from year to year. There are challenges ahead, as we know, and our long-term financial plan and the modelling that we've done as a result of rate capping will tell us that we've got somewhere between a 50 to 60 million shortfall of what was projected prior to rate capping. So There are always, and that's why we review these things annually, to look at the circumstances that we're dealing with. So thanks, councillors. And with those underpinning documents adopted, albeit in their draft form until we've actually got to the proposed annual budget in its final form, that brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is the budget for 17-18, which is currently in its draft form. And I will ask councillors, are there any questions? Councillor Hempel.
Yes, thanks, Madam Mayor. The appendix in their budget Appendix 4, when you have a look at the back and you look at capital works projects, it's very broad. What are we going to do about the detail of the capital works project? Because I would argue that most people want to know whether their road's going to be done or whether their footpath is going to be done. But I'm having difficulty understanding what's going to be done just from this document.
Yes.
Beg your pardon, Mr. Millard. Please answer that question.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Councillor Hempel, as you've correctly pointed out, the items in the capital project are at program level rather than project level, and each one of those has a significant number of projects that officers have been scoping and planning for delivery in future years. So maybe it's opportune to, when these documents are published, that we could add that broader detail as well for Council's decision, really.
thank you. Sorry, apologies. Just following up then, usually when we have some detail about the road rehab program, there's a broader one called road resurfacing. That will include the resurfacing, the detail of which roads will be resurfaced?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Yes, Councillor Hempel, we have a broad resheet program projecting out into the future, and obviously whatever we allow in the budget for that program, we cut off at the number of streets that we can fit in, so we can certainly identify those streets for the following year.
Thank you.
Councillors, are there any other questions? Was that a yes from you, Councillor Altair? Yes? Anybody else? Well, Councillor Altair is gathering her thoughts. Whenever you're ready, Councillor Altair.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. we're still on the capital works budget. Mr. Millard, through you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Millard, there's a number of roads listed, and I wonder if you would explain how they are prioritised, if there's a systematic way that our officers use to determine which should go first on the list.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Altair, yes, a full survey of the road network in Hobsons Bay has been carried out in the past 18 months or so. So we have a higher order of knowledge, and mostly around matters like risk, you know, wear, condition reports and so on. So we think we have a fair handle in an objective sense about which roads are required to be done at what period. Bearing in mind that the list is much longer than the capital works budget.
On that basis, Mr. Millard, just to follow up, I'm assuming that it's not just from year to year, but you do have it's a 5-year plan, as I understand it, for the road maintenance and repair?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Altair, we forecast out for the term, so for 4 years, but as you know, we have a 10-year capital works program identifying into the future. But clearly, as more knowledge is gained, those priorities can change from year to year.
Still on capital works, Mr. Millard, the report states that there's some $19 million identified for us to catch up. Could you just elaborate on how we're going to try and catch up, the sort of systematic way that we've put in place to try and fix that backlog?
Again, through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Altair. As you're aware, Council's identified its broad assets and identified somewhere around $70 million shortfall in renewal funding. So what we're trying to do is maintain our existing asset base, but still cater for the future, bearing in mind that there is that gap to catch up in across all asset classes.
All your questions? Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Gregg.
It's noted that operational surpluses are expected to decline in future years. If we're not going to borrow, if we're not borrowing to invest, how are we going to stop this decline?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Gregg, as per our long-term financial plan, you're correct, operational surpluses are scheduled to decline, and I think it goes to Councillor Altair's point about the revenue constraints, particularly in our rating area. What's required for council is to review services, so undertake full service review to understand level of services provided. That's designed to understand how the operational position can be altered to improve available funds for capital investment.
Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Gates.
Just a question in regards to open trails and just seeking some clarification on what parts of the Skeleton Creek Trail will be included in the budget.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Gates, I might defer on that one to Ms Scanlon. For the actual area of that trail.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Gates, it's effectively continuing closing the gap on Skeleton Creek. So the sections we refer to as the next sections 2 and 3, which are on the eastern southern section of the trail. So it's continuing the alignment and the upgrade.
Satisfactory answer, and is that all your questions?
I think from memory, stage 2 and 3 brings us down to Point Cook Road, is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
So, councillors, any other questions? If there, Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, this is on the question of a public submission made to improve the precinct in Newport with the addition of an art project. And I just wanted to ask Mr. Millard if he could perhaps comment on the status of that and whether it's included in the budget this year. Through you, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Marsden, yes, there's $30,000 allowed in the capital budget for the coming year in the draft budget. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. If there are no further questions, then I will ask for a mover for the proposed budget, 17-18.
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. And a seconder?
I'm happy to second.
Councillor Altair, thank you. Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So as you can appreciate, this is a massive undertaking with a lot of community input, and what we propose to do tonight, if we in fact vote in favour of exhibiting this budget, is to do just that, to release a draft budget, which will then be open to more scrutiny. And while there's not a great deal of detail in the document at the moment, I would like to support the undertaking given by the officers to release more information to the public domain so that people can see exactly what the budget constitutes over the next few days. But in my experience as a new councillor, it's been an eye-opening experience because you're dealing with quite a lot of money. And how that gets done is obviously a reflection on the professionalism of the organisation, and I've found it to be a highly disciplined and consultative approach. And despite having to deal with many, many lists of roads and drains and parks and assets that we maintain, it seems that the infrastructure department in particular has put in a program of asset inspection and auditing, which will stand us in really good stead over the next few council cycles. And we've got a very good list of the current state of the roads, which I think is obviously one of our biggest expenditure items. So well in favour of increasing our database, digitising our assets so that we can make informed decisions about future budgets, but this budget reflects that discipline and that evidence-based approach, and I'd like to commend the officers for their thoroughness and for their professionalism. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. Councillor Alte.
Thanks, Madam Mayor, and yes, I can certainly echo the comments of my colleague, particularly in relation to it being a major project. Of course, it's one of the, if not the biggest undertaking that a councillor has to do each year, and I'm very confident and comfortable with the process, but also the extent to which we also consult with the community. And Councillor Marsden made mention of some more creative projects that were proposed to the council, and I'm delighted to note that we were able to incorporate that project in the budget. And I'd like to acknowledge some of my more creative citizens who have joined us tonight. It's lovely to see Ms. Donna Jackson, who did such a great job with our first Art and Industry Festival. But as Councillor Marsden says, we've had to put together a very good budget within some extraordinary constraints, not least, of course, the rate capping, while, as the report explains, at the same time, the Victorian, so Treasury itself, admits that the forecast for Victorian Wage Price Index is going to be 2.5%. So Treasury has determined that we can only increase rates by a flat 2%, while at the same time acknowledging that the wages alone will go up by a minimum of 2.5%. So there's the sort of juggling we've had to do, and I think we've done it very well. But as my colleague, Councillor Gregg, also established and pointed out, and it has been pointed out in the budget, that it will get harder and harder as the rate cap will really start to bite. Having said that, it will be noted that we are all proposing a healthy surplus as well. I think we've pulled off some miracles here, because everybody knows that the kind of basis of a good budget is ensuring we keep up with the needs of our roads and other infrastructure, and we're going to be devoting many millions to the upkeep and the improvement of our roads, footpaths and back lanes. I just want to point out one more issue that we've had to deal with. That an example is the tipping levy that we have to contribute to the state government, and it's gone up 600% in about 10 years. We started off with $9 per tonne, and it's now gone up to $63. So they're the sorts of amounts of money that we've got to find and continue to balance our budget, which I think we've done very well. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Altair. Is anyone against this motion? Are there any other speakers? Councillor Gates.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A couple of things I'd like to point out, and Councillor Altair has already started or made reference to essentially cost shifting, and page 7 of the report does identify all the cost shifting items where Commonwealth or state government programs transfer responsibilities to us as a local government authority without sufficient funding to actually run those programs or deliver those projects, and the landfill levy is one such example. But we also have cost shifting for specific services such as library services, maternal and child health, school crossing supervisors, administration of statewide food registration systems, and clearance of trees under power lines and so on. So I think it's important to note those items, and that, you know, local government, as the closest government to the community, does provide those support services, even though we're probably not obligated to do so. I'd also like to just flag some of the services that we do provide to the community that are not project specific, there are things such as our home care packages that are delivered to 202 people across the western region. We have early years programs, youth services providing support for young people aged 12 to 25 years, and other types of support such as community transport and so on. And they're the things that you can't see. And sometimes we have people who will say, oh, what do I get for my rates? I can't see you spending the money. Sometimes you're not meant to be able to see the money being spent, because a large proportion of what we do is providing services, not necessarily infrastructure. And when you look at the front of the document, you will see that split between operational budget and capital budget. In terms of projects, and I'd just like to flag a few projects that will be coming up down my neck of the woods in Seabrook, Altona Meadows and Laverton. A budget submission we did receive over the summer was for lighting upgrade to the car park at Laverton Park, and that's the car park between the bowling club and the football and cricket club, where there's been some safety issues and poor lighting. So we will see a lighting upgrade occur at some point. We have the design for the extension of the Altona Sports Centre that will be coming forward, resurfacing of Victoria Street in Altona Meadows, fast-tracking the improvements to Skeleton Creek Trail, and to the question I asked of Ms Scanlon, means that whilst we're currently sealing Skeleton Creek Trail in Seabrook at the southern end, we will also be completing the upgrade of the trail right through to Point Cook Road in the coming budget year, which is really exciting to provide that full accessibility on the southern side of the creek.
Councillor Gates, sir, your time is up. I'm sorry.
And I'll finish by saying that we'll also be investigating the very sought-after pedestrian link across Loveton Creek, and we've received much feedback about needing
Councillor Gates
over that creek. Thank you.
Any other speakers? Councillor Hempel.
Madam Mayor, I guess while I support most of the budget, there are some areas where I think we could improve, and particularly in the area of equity and the amount of capital works expenditure in the Strand Ward. I noticed that the northern area, while not totally missing out, disproportionately doesn't get as much as the southern part, and I think that is a bit of an issue, particularly in some of the roads that are being proposed. And we did have a discussion recently, and I thought some things are in there, but they suddenly dropped out. So I just foreshadowing that I won't be voting for the budget.
Thank you, Councillor Hempel. I believe that's everyone who's spoken, in which case, then Councillor Marsden, would you like...
Point of order, Madam Mayor. Could I just ask a question following...
what is your point of order?
Well, it's more a question, actually. I don't know.
Well, we're in debate, Councillor Altair, so I'm sorry, I'm not going to take your question, and it's not a point of order, so I will put it to Councillor Marsden to close debate. Thank you. Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm happy to go to a vote.
I'll put that motion to the vote. All those in favour? Anyone against?
Division.
Councillor Gates has called division, in which case I will call again. All those in favour? Councillor Gates, Councillor Marsden, Councillor Wilson, Councillor Grett, Councillor Altair. All those against? It is carried.
I'm sorry, Madam Mayor, are you going to call the councillors who abstained?
For the record, I will call the councillors who have abstained. So we've had, again, I will say, all those in favour, I've just gone through, and not against, but abstaining is Councillor Peter Hempel. Thank you, and but the motion is carried, and we do have a proposed budget that will go out for public consultation for, I believe it is a 6-week period, or is it a 4-week period, to be corrected. And we will seek feedback from the community, and at which point it will come back after a section 223, which allows the community to speak to the budget. We will go through the process again of adopting not a draft budget, but a final budget. So thank you, councillors. We have one more item on the agenda this evening in the formal part to be considered tonight, and that relates to a motion to the Australian National General Assembly of Local Government. And we have two items that are recommended to go forth. And councillors, I will ask whether there are any questions relating to those. If there are no questions, do I have a mover?
So moved.
Councillor Altair and a seconder.
Happy to second.
Councillor Gregg, thank you very much. Councillor Altair.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. As the report explains, the council has an opportunity to move motions at our national peak body assembly in June, where we can move and seek support from our council, fellow councils across Australia, for issues that obviously will be important at a national level, where action can be taken and where we can lobby and influence policy at a national level. And the themes this year of the National Assembly cover governance, innovation, livability, data-driven public policy, social capital, technology and infrastructure. And on that basis, the council will be moving to, we believe, important motions. First of all, to do with the improving the mental health of young people. You'll have noted in the budget that it's one of the major issues that was identified in the exercise where we developed a vision for 2030. And also, we all know that the issue of mental health for young people is a very pressing one. It's also a matter of cost shifting, where we are bearing the burden of those costs to a great degree. So we're asking for the Australian government to recognise this fact and to increase funding for mental health services at a local level. And we're very confident that there will be support for this, because it's a matter that comes up every year, and it's one of the most urgent and pressing issues, I think, impacting the well-being of the whole of Australia. The second one is very much a topical one, where data and digitisation is recognised as helping us to administer more effectively and more efficiently, and it's also to promote the idea of transparency and accessibility, which I suggest is the hallmark of our council, at least because I think we were named as one of the most open and transparent councils in Victoria last year. So this just reinforces that move. I'll leave it at that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Altair. Councillor Gregg.
A great summary there by Councillor Altair. Nothing. What else can I add? Basically, we've taken it as read, especially with regard to the open data. The mental health for young people. I'm extremely proud to be passing this motion. Anybody that's got family that have got mental health can be extremely difficult time. I know that we have somebody in our family who's suffering from mental health, and it has a great can become a great burden on the family, also on themselves. So I think the fact that we're passing this motion, I think it's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gregg. Is anyone against this motion? Are there any other speakers? Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the question of open data, there are billions and billions of dollars of intellectual property locked up in local government departments across Australia. And the conundrum facing local government is that in order to make use of that data, to clean it up, to tag it, to put it in the right shape, to be able to go to the public requires resources over and beyond that available on a day-to-day basis for the running of the operation. There's a lot of paper sitting around in drawers from reports written by thousands of consultants over the past few decades, which have never seen the light of day, because, and they too require officer time and expertise to be able to digitise. So I endorse this motion and am keen to see further inroads into open data sharing within our council and within the councils that are under the purview of the ALGA. When it comes to mental health, I agree that we are underfunded, particularly for young people in Hobsons Bay. My partner works as a counselling psychologist in Blackshaws Road, and it's a very difficult place to get to. There's a lot of youth presenting with acute psychiatric symptoms, and I think it's clear that we could ask for much more money to be able to serve the needs of our community.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. Any other speakers? If there are none, then I will ask Councillor Altair to close debate. I'll put that motion to the vote. All those in favour? Anyone against? It is carried. And two very worthy motions to take to the National General Assembly, and I'm sure they'll be supported across the country of local government, local governments that are present, and then the federal government just has to listen. But we'll continue that advocacy long and hard. That brings us to almost the end of the agenda this evening, but we do have supplementary question time, but I think we have none. In which case, I will ask councillors, is there any other business this evening? And if there is none, then I will conclude the meeting by thanking councillors and officers for what is an important meeting of the year. We've got through it, and also to say that it's great to have a gallery full. And while I didn't acknowledge everyone, there's a lot of faces I recognise in the gallery tonight. Donna, it's good to see you here, and I think I recognise, well, a similarity, a family similarity between somebody in the front row and two little people who might be related to one of the councillors here tonight, and very proud to see their uncle participating in local government. So thank you, everybody, for being present. The time is for concluding the meeting is 7:56. Normally we would retire to the meeting room and join you for refreshments. You are most welcome to do that. In brief passing, we may pop in, but we do have a councillor briefing that we need to move on to, which is not ordinarily the case, but we have a few important items that we have to address. We will speak to you in passing, I'm sure. So thank you and good night.